Now, almost at the back of your Bible is the book of 1 John. We've read there a couple of times in this little series of meetings. 1 John chapter 5. If you're going from the back, it's Revelation, and then it's Jude, 3 John, 2 John, 1 John. And that's not easy to say when you're standing up here to go backwards, but that's the best way to find it. We're going to read five verses in 1 John chapter 5. And we want to learn something tonight. We want to learn what God has given and how we can receive it. Very simple, I know, but very important. What has God given and how do we receive this gift? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9. If we receive the witness, the idea of witness here is testimony. So someone who has seen and they're telling you something. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record or the testimony that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That verse from the Bible is really tremendous when you think about it. What we are learning from that one verse is this: that God has given us written words, he's put it in writing, so that we can know that we have eternal life. Not everyone believes that, but if you believe the Bible, you believe that. Because that's what it's saying right here. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may hope. You ever cross your fingers and hope for something to happen? Maybe that's just a Western superstition. But over here in North America, when people are really wishing that something will happen, they cross their fingers, right? They do silly little superstitious things like that. But God is not saying cross your fingers and hope for the best. No. And God is not saying, if you do your best, then you're probably going to have eternal life. That's not what he's saying. And he's not saying if you go to church, that you have a good chance of getting into heaven. What is he saying? These things are written. You believe on the name of the Son of God, you know that you have eternal life. That means, now, this is not my message, but it's really interesting when you think of it. That means that while you are in this world, you know where you'll be in the next world. It means that while you are living and breathing in Canada tonight, you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you're going to be in heaven when it's all over. How? These things have I written, that you may know. So I think it's good for us to go over this once in a while, for all of us. How do I know what God is like? Norman took us to Romans chapter 3. If he had taken us to Romans chapter 1, we would have read that God makes himself known in creation. So you look up at the sun, don't look at the sun, don't stare at it, but you look up at the sky And you see all of those stars, and you know now that they're millions and millions of miles away, and yet the light is reaching Earth. And God is making himself known in the tremendous vastness of creation. God makes himself known in the details of creation. But God is making himself known. If you read in Romans chapter 2, you know what you find? God makes himself known not just in creation, but God makes himself known to us through his word, through what was written, so that there were people and they could just walk outside and not know anything about God, but look up in the sky and look at creation and say, I might not know a lot about God, but I know that he's powerful and he's able to make all of this. But then there are others, and they're able to have the writings of God and look in them and see what God is like from the Bible. Now tonight, what do you know about what God is like? Well, if we read our Bible, you know what we find out? We find out that God is righteous. Norman brought that before us. God is righteous. You know what that means? He always does right. He always does right. So that no matter what the situation is, God will never compromise his character. Right? Did you ever tell a lie? Now we're being honest with each other, I suppose. Yeah. When you tell a lie, what you're doing is compromising your integrity. You're not righteous. You're doing wrong instead of right. Well, God never does wrong. And that might sound very simple, but it's essential to understand. God is righteous. But God is not just righteous, he's also holy. So that not only does he do no wrong, but sin cannot be in his presence. Sin cannot enter into his heaven. Sin is totally separate from God. So when you consider the fact that God is absolutely righteous, he does right all the time, and then you consider that my sinfulness will keep me from God, we're starting to get a biblical picture of what God is like. He is righteous and he is holy. But if you read in this very book, 1 John, you know what you find? God is love. L-O-V-E. I was going to say it's a four-letter word, but I had to count it out. L-O-V-E. We talk a lot about love in the gospel, don't we? You know why? The God that we are preaching to you is love. Now, you'll notice I didn't say that God loves. But he does. We can look in John chapter 3 in verse 16, and what do we find? God so loved the world. The verse that we read the other night in 1 John is that herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be a propitiation for our sins. What are we seeing there? We're seeing that God is actively loving us because God is love. So here you have it. A God who is righteous, a God who is holy, and a God who is loving and is love. Now, I'm not sure what you think of love, but the people that I love, I like to have them close. Right? So I've said this before, but maybe it will help you understand. If I go away on a trip, now sometimes we go away from home for a long time, right? And some of you, I respect your commitment to your family and your work. You're away from home to try and help and provide for your family. But there's a part of you that would like to have them close to you, right? That's love. And when I come home from a trip away, being away for a few weeks or a month or a little longer sometimes, and I walk into my house tired, You know, sometimes a trip can take the best out of me, and I'm really tired. And I have on my mind, I would love to get to bed, lay my head on the pillow, and go to sleep, right? So when I come in the house and I see my family gathered around the table having supper or waiting for me in the kitchen, I never come in and say, "Hello, everybody, how you doing?" and go right up to bed, do I? That would be rude. I haven't seen them. I love them. That love makes me want to take them close to me. So what do? When I come in, I go right to them. I reach my arms out, and I take them in close to me. And I hug them. I hug them tight. Because that love desires connection. That love desires a closeness. Now, don't miss it. God is love. And God wants you close. But remember, God is also righteous. And God is also holy. So his righteousness and his holiness keeps you at a distance. But his love wants you close. Now keep this in your mind. His righteousness keeps you away because of your sin. His love wants you close. You can say it over and over again because it's always true. His righteousness keeps you away and his love wants you close. Now there's only one way for a God who is righteous to ever bring us close. What's that? To take your sins out of the way. If God could take your sins out of the way, then you could come close, right? Follow this now for a second. This road only exists because of sin, and you are on it because of sin. This place the Bible calls hell exists because of sin, and people go there because of sin. This place that we are told of in Revelation chapter 20, this throne that is great and white, where people stand before God to be judged, it's because of sin. And sin is the reason people will be there. And this lake of fire, which we don't talk about very much, but it's very, very serious from the Bible. It's the place where people end up because of their sin. So follow it real closely. Going down. Because of sin. Hell and judgment because of sin. So if you could take the sin away, there'd be no going down, right? You take the sin away. If you could take the sin away, there'd be no hell for you. I'm thankful that when the sin is taken away, there's no hell for me. If you take the sin away, there's no judgment. If you take the sin away, there's no fire. Why? Because as soon as that sin is removed, the God of love brings you close for eternity. But believe it or not, I spent the first 16 minutes of my 30-minute message preaching about something that's not even on my mind. But you get it? That's the God of the Bible. Righteous, holy, and love. But what does this God want to give us? He wants to give us, according to what we've read, eternal life. We read here, this is the record that God has given unto us eternal life. Now, what is eternal life? Eternal life is something that's not physical, okay? Now, we all have physical life. If you didn't have physical life, your body would not be moving. You wouldn't be breathing, right? But we all have physical life. Now, some of us are more lively than others, and some of us are a little, more lethargic than others. But we're all alive, right? We all have life. So when the Bible talks about eternal life, it's not talking about your physical life. When the Bible talks about eternal life, It's talking about a life that goes beyond your physical life, a life that goes into eternity. But it's not a life that simply will last forever. It's a life that has an unchanging character forever. In other words, the life that God wants to give you is a life that will never change forever and ever and ever and ever. And he wants to give you that life right now, tonight. But eternal life is more than just a life that never changes forever and ever and ever. You say you're trying to sell this as if you're selling something. No, I'm trying to tell you how wonderful it is to have eternal life, because eternal life is really a life from another world. That's really the literal translation of that word. It is life from the next age. It is life that's out of this world. Interesting, isn't it? It's actually the life of God himself that he wants to give you. In fact, this life that's from above, that he wants to give you right now, can be yours tonight, and you'll never, ever lose it. That's the beauty of eternal life. God is giving eternal life. It's like, I suppose, we think in terms of earning things, don't we? You work hard. I'm looking around at people, and you all work hard at whatever you do. When you begin to work for somebody, you usually sign a paper, right? Or at least you have an agreement. And the agreement is, you work this much, I pay you this much, right? So if you're working by the hour, they say, you work 1 hour, I pay you $16. Or you work 10 hours, I pay you $160, right? But when you're working, you have it in mind, every hour that I work, I will be paid for, right? So if you work, I'll throw a number out there. I don't want to do math on the platform. But let's say you work 10 hours in the week. At the end of the week, you're expecting $160. You want your money, right? And when the boss comes and gives you your money, it's not free, right? It's not free. It's yours. Why is it yours? Because you worked for it. That's what the Bible calls wages. You work for it, it's yours, not free. But God doesn't give eternal life as wages. God doesn't give eternal life because you deserve it. God gives eternal life as a free gift. So let's say instead of you working, it storms. One day it storms. Can't go to work. The next day, you're sick. Can't go to work. The next day, there is no work. Can't go to work. And you do 7 days, just like that, where you don't work at all. No work. And then your boss comes and he gives you a check. For free. No work, but you get paid. You see, that's a free gift. If you work for it, it's your wages. If it's free, it's a gift. And you see, when it comes to eternal life, it's not your wages. Because we've heard from Norman already, from the Bible, that we could never deserve eternal life. We could never work for it. In fact, the Bible tells us in many places that, in the book of Titus, we are told it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. In the book of Ephesians, we are told it is by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. What are we being told? That if we are going to have eternal life, it will never come from our baptism, from our church going, from our communion, or from our prayers. What does it come as? A free gift. A free gift. So how do you receive a free gift? You say that this is super simple now, isn't it? Super simple. In our country, a lot of times we give gifts for a birthday, right? So Daryl's birthday was yesterday. Is that correct, Daryl? Yeah, 74 years old? No. 52 or something like that, right? So Daryl's 52nd birthday, and I didn't buy him anything. Didn't even think about it. I'm sorry. My friendship is a gift for you. That's all you need. But people who wanted to celebrate Daryl's birthday got him a gift. So here's what they did. They went and they thought of him, right? After they thought of him, they picked something out that they thought he would like. They spent their money on it. They paid for it. They purchased it and they wrapped it, probably wrapped it, and brought it to him, and they extend it out and they say, "This is for you. It's a gift." And when Daryl's daughter did that for him, I'm assuming she did, she reached out to give Daryl a gift, and he reached in his wallet and he pulled his wallet out and he takes out $100 and says, "Here, this is for the gift." No. It's not a gift if you pay for it, right? It's only a gift if it's free. But how then can Daryl take the gift that they thought of, that they purchased, that they wrapped? How can he get the gift if he doesn't pay for it? He just takes it. He receives it. And if he's a nice man, he will say, "Thank you," right? "Thank you for the free gift." Now, I want to tell you about the free gift that is eternal life. You see, somebody thought of you. Did you know that? In the sea of the billions of people who have lived on planet Earth, somebody thought of you to give you a free gift. Now, that free gift, it wasn't just a thought. They actually paid for it. This eternal life was paid for. Do you know how it was paid for? When the Lord Jesus died on the cross. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he paid for the gift. So it wasn't only thought of for you, it's paid for. And now God wraps it up. He puts it in a wrapper, or a box, if you will, a package, so that he's extending now to you eternal life. He thought of you, he paid for it, he's giving it to you, but it comes in a box. But it's not a cardboard box. You know what it is? This package is a person. The package is a person. We read just right here, didn't we? This is the record that God has given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So as God is reaching out to you with this gift of eternal life, what do you do? How do you receive it? Well, we're told here. You take them. You take the gift. But remember, you take the gift, you need to take the package. In order to receive eternal life, you take the Son. The Son. And the Bible says, when you take the Son, you have life. If you refuse the Son, you refuse the life. So you can't have eternal life without taking the Son. I have a friend, someone I met and chatted with, who does gospel missionary work in Nepal. We were talking about Nepal tonight at the beginning when you came in. They do this missionary gospel work in Nepal, and she befriends young ladies, and sometimes these young ladies end up staying with them for extended periods of time. They're living away from their home, going to school, and different things. One of these young ladies, when presented with the gospel, she took the son. She believed on the Lord Jesus, and according to the Bible, the moment she believed on him is equivalent to receiving him, and when she received him, she received eternal life. Now, in Canada, most people, if they said, I got saved, or I trusted Christ, or I'm born again, people might laugh at them, but that would probably be the extent of it, right? But in her country, a lot of people would persecute her for her faith, right? And they were against her. And her dad was really upset. Now, here's a conversation that my friend overheard on the phone. The young lady was talking to her dad, and her dad was saying, "That's it. I'm coming to get you, and I want you to renounce your faith. I want you to deny Christianity, and I'm taking you home." And the young lady was on the phone, and the tears were rolling down her cheeks. And she said, "Dad, if it was just a religion, I could do it. But he's a person, and he died for me. I can't deny him, and I can't renounce his name." You see the difference? Many people look at Christianity as a religion, but it's not. Being a Christian is not taking a religion. Being a Christian is taking a person, and that person died for you. There is nothing better that I could tell you in the entire world than that the Son of God loved you. He gave himself for you. It's a tremendous thing to be able to tell you that the God we are preaching is a God of absolute love who extends now to you a gift. And if you take his son, you will have eternal life. God of love. It's kind of snowing out. I won't keep you too long, but I want to tell you another story. Just a little one. I have a friend. You're going to say this is definitely he's lying now because he already told us about one friend and he doesn't have two friends. Well, I do. I have at least two friends. This one friend was born in India, into a Christian home in India, and his family moved to North America. But he told me the story of his grandfather and how his grandfather got saved, how his grandfather became a Christian, if you will, or how his grandfather was born again. The missionary from England came and was sharing with him the gospel. Now, Joey's grandpa was a Hindu, I believe that's the term, and he was maybe a Brahmin, in the Brahmin caste, I think. But anyway, he told Joe, the missionary this. He said, "I don't want to hear your gospel. Go away." The missionary went away, but then the missionary came back. And he had the same message for him, message from the Bible. And the man said, "Okay, you've returned. I'll listen to your message. But because I'm a higher class than you, I'm going to go and stand up there on that little balcony, and I will look down at you, and you will look up at me. And when you're looking up at me, you can tell me your gospel, but not until then." It's interesting, isn't it? But here he went, and he stood up here, and the missionary began to preach the gospel. And in preaching the gospel, he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And Joey's grandpa said, "Wait, I'm coming down." He came down and he looked at this man right in his face and he said, "Every God that I have ever been told to worship always wants something from me. They want my money. They want my devotion. They want my family. They want something. And you're telling me now about a God who's not asking me for something? He loves me? And he's giving me something? Well, that's a different God, isn't it? That's the God of the Bible. And tonight, he is giving eternal life. This life is in his Son, and he that has the Son has life. If I was to have some money in my pocket, and on the way out tonight, just hold it out like this, $100, nice little brown $100 bill, and I hold it out like this as you're leaving tonight, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to hold it. And as you go by, I'm going to reach out even further, right? I'm not going to do it, so don't get your hopes up. But let's say I was going to do it, and I'm reaching out, and you look at me. You look at it, and you just walk past. I could say in my mind, well, they didn't say no. So maybe they want it, right? But I know that if you look at it, you look at me, and you don't take it, what you're really saying is, I don't want it. See, tonight you don't have to say no with your lips to receiving the Son. But if God is extending him, and God is giving him, and you walk by without taking him, it's exactly the same thing. He that hath the Son hath life. We'll pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the Son of God. We are thankful for the Word of God, and we're thankful for everyone who's shown an interest tonight in the Scriptures. We know that God is loving, and God is love. We know that God is righteous and holy, and we pray tonight that there will be someone who will be willing to receive this gift in his Son. We pray for help on the highway. We pray for safety, and we pray for power. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.